following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Hey, Golick, is that a new phone?
Yeah, Greeny, you like it?
You do realize it's a smartphone, right?
Ah, yeah, ha-ha, very funny. But check this out. With La Quinta's new instant hold feature, I can hold a room on my smartphone for up to 4 hours in advance.
That's convenient.
So, even if I'm out on the road, I can call an audible.
So how's that work?
Here you go. Just punch in your phone number. La Quinta's mobile site keeps me on top of my game. It's easy.
But you don't know your phone number.
Dude, I never call myself.
La Quinta Inns and Suites takes care of you so you can take care of business.
Instant hold your next stay at LQ.com.
Your pistons are metal.
Metal!
Your cylinders are metal.
Metal!
Your crankshaft is metal.
Metal!
Your engine is made of metal.
Metal!
Yet some oil filters use end caps made of cardboard.
Cardboard!
Purelator oil filters use end caps made of metal.
Metal!
For better engine protection. So keep it pure with Purelator. Look for Purelator filters at Advance Auto Parts, Meijer, Pep Boys, Walmart, and other fine retailers.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's only local sports call-in show, featuring award-winning sports director Doug Duda and Big Daddy Tony Davis. Guests include local and regional sports figures, everyone from Big Ten head coaches and athletes to the top D2 NAIA and high school coaches and athletes. They analyze all sports from pro football to junior hockey. Join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line toll-free at 1-888-455-ESPN, 1-888-455-3776. Email the Den Popper inbox at DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. Send us a tweet at ESPN1460-1550. Or send us a Facebook comment, facebook.com/ESPN Superstation. Let's head to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. A rocking good time today. Daddy, you got school getting out daily for folks around here. I believe this is it for Kearney today. And so over the next couple of days, everybody's going to be getting out and keep it safe, have fun, have a great summer, and we're glad to have you along with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. We're coming up on the program today. Loper Link, Scott Jorgensen's going to join us, talk about the six athletes that are going to the outdoor championships next week in lovely Pueblo, Colorado. Just when you thought you didn't have to go back out to Colorado, one more shot, we're going to Pueblo. We'll talk to him on Loper Link here in just a moment. Ken Hamilton of the Lincoln Journal Star is going to join us originally to talk baseball, but he also following football, and I'll get back to this in just a moment. And also coming up on the show today, Roger Matheson, Kearney High Track with our state track preview. But, Daddy, everywhere you look, Omaha World Herald, Husker Online, Lincoln Journal Star, Associated Press with Eric Olson, they've all got a comment, you know, they're all set up to say, hey, we're going to talk to you, Tommy, after this comes out. We're going to talk to you, Eric, after this comes out. Trev's hiding out in a bunker at the UNO hockey facility. you know, both of them saying, hey, if it comes, it comes. They're saying the politically correct thing. But I'm going to say more the state is siding with my comments yesterday. I'm not saying with me, but saying, I mean, Chris Fowler, the number of tweets, you're a Twitter guy, the number of tweets out there, when Chris Fowler just out of nowhere points out that Tommy Frazier didn't get in, when Blair Kirchhoff, who covered him, points out that he didn't get in, come on.
In the World Herald today, they've got about four or five people that are on a national scene that have covered this. Chris Fowler was one of them. Makes a, you know, I know that, but you get ESPN guys and people that have covered college football for years and years and years that have said this. We got Den Popper inbox yesterday. We didn't get to one of the people, but Fast Willie chimed in and says, bottom line, if Frazier isn't a first ballot Hall of Famer, why is there a Hall of Fame? I would say also Crouch, if you win the Heisman Trophy, regardless of, you know, Doug's not a big Eric Crouch fan, that's fine. He's a Heisman Trophy winner. You deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, period. You're automatically a college football Hall of Famer.
And one of the things they point out there, this will make most Nebraska fans go, ugh, and it did. Danny Werfel's not in. They won the SEC title every year he played. He won a national championship. He won the Heisman before Crouch. He's not in. Again, you can't stick 30 guys in. I don't want you to do that. But, again, I just look at this year's class and go, ew. Who are these guys? I think the Hall either needs to find a way to publicize this a little bit better. Nobody's even sure. And by the way, the rule about not putting in back-to-back years, this seems to be an unwritten rule. If you've been following along here the last 24 hours, when we talked to Steve Sipple yesterday, he was saying he wasn't sure. Ivan Mazel reported that the folks on the board didn't want to put a person in from the same school back-to-back years. Well, USC had a guy go in from 2000 to 2005 every year. Now, I don't think it's happened since then, but it's one of those unwritten rules. Well, if that's the case, some of these schools, and you know, better than Nebraska, your USC's, your Notre Dame's, your Oklahoma's, your Michigan's, that have, I mean, there's only three or four, your Texas's, that only have three or four schools that have more wins than Nebraska. How are they ever going to get anybody in?
You're right. And when you have unwritten rules, we're getting, you know, with school getting out and you get to the summer and you get football practice, you don't have to go to summer weightlifting. Wink, wink, nod, nod. There's an unwritten rule for you. You may not play in the fall, but
you
don't have to go. Yeah, it's your choice. You won't see the field if you don't, but whatever. But, you talk about, I think the bottom line, there's certain people that are automatically in the Hall of Fame. And if you're a Heisman Trophy winner, if you're Tommy Frazier, those are people that should have been in 17 years. Okay, yesterday after I thought, well, he's going to get in. He's still a young guy. But really, he's waited long enough for an honor that should have been bestowed a long time ago.
So is Jason White from Oklahoma a Hall of Famer? He was a Heisman Trophy.
Absolutely.
Winner.
No.
If you win the Heisman
You won the Heisman. You're in a special group. I'm not automatically saying Jason White isn't. I'm just saying not every Heisman person gets in.
Okay. When I make every Heisman person gets in. Yeah, you're the one person that took home that trophy. You're in the Hall of Fame.
You're the best player that year.
You're the best player that year. You're in the
That's fine.
You're in the Hall of Fame.
That's fine, because then all we'd have in the Hall of Fame are running backs and quarterbacks.
No, that's not true. There's one a year.
Blake on the Facebook page says, great rant yesterday, Doug. I'm shocked Big Daddy wasn't more fired up over no Huskers getting in the College Football Hall of Fame. All three will get in sometime, like Sip said. Takes a while, and we'll have to look on YouTube to see their highlights at good old Nebraska U. I'm not sure Trev Alberts will ever get in. I think he will, but I think he's third on that list. Blake, thanks. We can always take your Facebook opinions on our ESPNSuperstation.com. There's the Facebook link right there, so you can send that to us as well. But send us your thoughts, send us your questions, send us your comments. We'll get in more of that with Ken Hamilton coming up a little bit later on. But right now, it's time for our Loper Link, brought to you by CharterWest National Bank of Kearney. Let Russ Smith help you with all your lending needs. You have the reasons, they have the loans. And by Garrett Tire Trend and Appliance, on the farm tire service, no more downtime when you work with the folks at Garrett Tire. UNK Tennis went down this morning in the Sweet 16. No surprise there. They're playing the seven-time national champion, swept out by BYU Hawaii.
Yeah, congratulations on what a great season they had. And we're joined right now in studio by Scott Jorgensen, track coach at the University of Nebraska Kearney. They're getting ready for nationals. It's interesting, Scott. Welcome, first of all. But it's interesting in talking to you a little bit before how difficult the marks and to qualify for the national event has been, particularly this year. And you can maybe set it apart better than how often does this happen, that the marks are like this top to bottom?
You know, really, it's kind of an anomaly year. You kind of hate to see the trend continue on, because, you know, I mean, we've got a lot of quality kids that did great things at our conference meet last week, that were just, you know, seconds away, inches away, however you want to say it, from making it to nationals. It's just one of those crazy years. And, you know, early in the season when we saw these kids get on our national list, we're like, hey, all right, you know, they're going to be sitting fine. But then all of a sudden, as the weeks progressed, it's like, oh my gosh, this is just continually getting better and better and better. One thing on that note, with Division II track and field, we actually have the toughest qualifying standards to get to a national meet. D1, they've revamped it. I can't remember exactly how it works now. They've changed D1 qualifying for nationals. D1, I think, has changed every year in the past 8 years, basically. And I think they finally got to the formula. Okay, here's a list. We're just going to take the top 24. I mean, it's taken them, you know, however long to get to that point. They've done the regional system, this and that, whatever. And, you know, and D3 and NAI are basically about the same thing. You know, you have your list and you take the top X amount of athletes. Well, here you go. With Division II, they're guaranteed, the top 16 are guaranteed to go. They will make a few exceptions, you know, like if there's someone in the 100 and the 200, but in the 200, you know, they're like 18th, well, they'll take the 17th person also. Yeah. Whereas like NAIA, D3, it's basically like the top 18, top 20, something like that, where Division II, it's the top 16. So it's actually very tough for kids to get qualified for nationals at our level.
Doug, he's talking about a distance runner last year, 3 seconds away from going. He improves by 30 seconds.
And he's 12th.
12th overall. I mean, yeah. Stuff like that. I mean, that's a ridiculous number of how you got him improved to get to this meet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, his time would have been top five at this point last year. Top five, top seven, something like that.
We're talking about Al.
Yeah, Al Sanabria. Yeah. You know, ran a phenomenal race out at Mount SAC. Gosh, that was probably 3-4 weeks ago, something like that. But, yeah, it's just crazy when you look at that. I know talking with Coach Bonzel the other day, Paul Papes made it in the 800. I think he's sitting like 12th, somewhere around there. What it took to qualify for nationals in the men's 800 last year is 30th this year. And, I mean, and guys, I mean, we're talking a second, like a second and a half difference. So, I mean, we're basically looking at 4 meters, 3.5 meters, basically a stride length difference between 16th place and 30th place right now.
and it's all to get to Pueblo. Who got left home this year? We'll talk about the six a little bit more in a minute, but who got left home this year that you kind of thought was probably going to get that chance to go, or would have had a chance, or would have been there the last year?
Boy, I mean, well, there's a... You know, I apologize. I'm probably going to leave a lot of people out on this. I mean, because we had kids all over, all up and down the list there. You know, Matt Shipp in the 800. You know, he ran a 153. I want to say a low 153, and I think he was like 18th. So you know, there again, yeah. You know, any other level, he's going. Division II, he's not going. He's one I can think of off the top of my head. Bryson Malberg from Elwood. You know, in the multis, conference champ in the multis, didn't quite get the point totals that we needed. Two gals in the discus, Brittany Wynett and Andrea Howe, both throw over 150 foot in the women's discus. And typically, I mean, any year that I've ever been associated with D2 track and field, 150 foot's like the magic number. It's like if you hit that, you are going. Andrea threw 152 foot four and is 22nd on the list. Brittany throws 150 foot. Like 150 foot nine, sorry, and she is 27th on the list.
And you look at the kids that are going, and I'm used to seeing the list, you know, second, third, and then you got your 8th, 10th, 12th. But Alan Osborne has the best qualifying. He's 5th. We talk so much about him in the indoor season. Is it just all the kids that get to go, any of them got a chance in any of these events to be national champs?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a great, great national championship meet. It's going to be so fun to watch because, you know, your traditional powerhouses in D2 track, Lincoln University out of Missouri, who will be a future MIAA school with us, St. Augs out of Florida, you know, Adams State, Western State, you know, all those schools. I mean, you look up and down the accepted list that came out yesterday, and I'll tell you what, I mean, you could make that go a million different ways and have a million different outcomes of how this national meet's going to pan out. I mean, yeah, you got Osborne sitting 5th in the hurdles with a 14.02. He actually ran a 13.95 wind-aided, which is our school record down at Emporia about the third week of the season, but the wind was – he had too much of a tailwind behind him, and so it wasn't allowable. But, I mean, yeah, you know, you look at Osborne 14.02 sitting 5th. I can't remember what the 16th place is, but, you know, it's not going to be a walk in the park. He's going to have to, you know, he's going to have to do – what he's been doing all year. And the nice thing with Alan is that he's been consistent throughout the whole season.
How uncommon is that for somebody to win consistently? Like he's, I mean, there's got to be ebbs. I mean, just like any other season, track's a long season.
Yeah. For him to be able to do what he's doing, you know, I mean, he's had a great I mean, he just had a great overall senior year. I mean, if there's any, I guess, typical way that you want to see a senior provide leadership and, you know, show the younger kids, you know, how to do what to do. I mean, you know, he's taken every workout to heart and he's given his best effort. You know, when he gets lined up in the blocks, you know, he avoids the distractions that are around him and he just does what he does. And, you know, just, you know, basically out to prove to everybody that he is, you know, that good of a hurdler.
We're talking with Scott Jorgensen, UNK Track, here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Let's talk about the other senior that's going, again, right from here in Hayes Holdridge's, Jenna Isaacson in heptathlon. She's ninth in that. She's been a mainstay. She's got the experience of going to these national meets. What's her outlook look like?
It'll be interesting to see how Jenna does. You know, she kind of battled a little bit of an injury that we found out about kind of halfway through our outdoor season, so we she didn't do the multis at a conference last week, but she did go and did well in her individual events. We kind of held her out of those multis there because of the fact that we knew she was going to be going. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as far as we did a little throwing last night with her. You know, it's the best I've seen her throw the shot put, you know, all year. And so, you know, I'm excited to see what she does. And, you know, a little rest. You know, those eight events are going to be tough on her, but, you know, she's a strong-willed kid that'll, I think, do really, really well.
Your other girl that you work with is Jackie in the shot, and is she been getting better all year? She's 13th going in. Can she pop one? Can she get a PR? Can she be an All-American?
Oh, yeah.
No chance.
I don't know why we're taking that.
How's her progression?
Yeah, her progression has been very, you know, like you said, you know, the season is very long. You know, for most people, you know, might not understand. I mean, we start practice in September, and we go until basically the end of May. And so it can be a very long season. And, you know, and Jackie and I really approached the shot put this year starting in November with kind of a different approach than what I did with her my first year as the throws coach. You know, we kind of really went back to a lot of basic fundamental movements throughout the whole indoor season. And she had a good indoor season, but we were really just kind of working out some kinks. And I know there was a few times where her and I were both like, gosh, okay, should we start to put the pedal down a little bit more? And I can remember she had a big throw in warmups. It was the 17th of February down at UNL, or it was our week before a conference meet. And, you know, she had a huge – I mean, she had a 50 – it was over 50 foot. And, yeah. And if you know – I mean, if you know Jackie, I mean, she's – you know, she's not tall at all. And so it was kind of funny, you know, a lot of the people came up to me and, like, I looked at it, I was like, oh, my gosh, was that 50 foot? And, but, you know, it's like, you know, when we hit to that point there, it's like, all right, we knew it was there. It just didn't happen with the indoor season. But she's came out and had a great, great, very consistent outdoor season. We kind of had some, you know, peaks and valleys a little bit. But, you know, we've done a great job. She's done an excellent job of just staying the course. And, you know, her and I trusting one another with, you know, talking things out. And, you know, she had a great throw. It was her first throw on last Friday at Seward to get her qualified. It was a very, very big throw. And, you know, she's got just as good a shot as anybody else down there to, you know, coming in 13th. But, boy, she's got a really easy shot to jump into the top eight there. So,
obviously these kids are all very, very talented. If you're going to qualify, and you mentioned how difficult. Talk about Marty Molina, because I think there's probably a kid that's came – probably wasn't on the right path at one time, totally changed everything. Mm-hmm. And to get where he is pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
And talk about leading the team. He's one of the guys you guys point to a lot.
Right, yeah. Yeah, Marty's done a tremendous job. And, you know, you always know when Marty walks into the team meetings because he'll – you know, he'll let you know when he's there. I mean, but it's great though. I mean, you know, and that's the fun thing that I mean, me personally, what I like about track is that you have so many dynamic, different attitudes and cultures and stuff that it's really kind of fun because it can really bring the group together as a whole. And Marty's one of those kids. I mean, you know, he'll get behind. He wants people to get behind him when he gets on the runway, and he gets pumped and he gets excited, and everybody else will follow suit. And, you know, after he jumps, he'll be the first one to go over to, you know, whatever race is going on, whatever any other field events that are going on, and he'll be there backing them up, you know, just like what we do, what everybody does for him. And, you know, Marty's a great kid. You know, he's come full circle with a lot of things. You know, he's definitely on the right path. You know, there's another example there. A kid jumps over 15 meters in the triple. in his 13th. I mean, it's just, you know, it's insane to think about that.
It's going
to
be a fun time down in Pueblo. It's next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. UNK track team trying to bring home some more All-American honors. And, Scott, we appreciate you coming in on the Doug and Daddy Show today. Enjoy the end of the season.
It would do. It'll be a nice little trip out to Pueblo again, at least. Hopefully it doesn't snow on us like it did up at Gunnison. That was something interesting, but, you know. It's Colorado. It's the mountains. What do you expect?
Is track in the MIAA, before we let you get out of here, much improved?
My gosh, yeah.
Different.
You know, I mean, they come out with these. Someone came up with this fancy NASA science equation that, you know, puts like conference rankings and stuff. I don't buy into it a lot, but it's kind of fun to look at and stuff. Typically, the MIAA is the toughest Division II track and field conference, and mainly with, Central Missouri, Lincoln, Emporia, Northwest Missouri. I mean, those, Pitt State, they are huge track schools. You know, those schools are also big football schools too. You know, it's going to be basically the battle for, I mean, to win the conference, you know, outdoor conference meet, it's going to be the battle for, you know, 75 points. Who can get to 75 points the fastest is probably going to win the meet. Whereas, you know, last week we scored 200 points and got second on the guy's side. And the gal scored 100. And, you know, Adams won the gals meet with 186 points. We were fourth with 128, but we missed. But second place was 138. So it is thick throughout. But, you know, I mean, the nice thing is that our kids, you know, when you compare what the MIAA does and what our kids do, our kids are right in that mix right there. So it's just going to make that conference even better. So looking forward to it.
It is the start of the MIAA, the end of the Rocky Mountain Athletic Conference. And UNK missed the All Sports Cup by 2.7 points. Colorado Mines wins it for the first time in school history. The Lopers had won it 14 out of 20 years, including the last two. They come up just short at 2.7 behind Colorado Mines, and we blame the women's track team.
Hey now.
But UNK, again, a lot of this history as we move along. We mentioned right as we started the tennis team, the women swept out by BYU Hawaii, who's like the best team almost of any class here. They're 27-0. They swept the Lopers 5-0. Once you get up 5-0, everybody stops. And UNK was down in all the matches. They had their best showing at the number two doubles. But that's it for the Loper women, who go 18-8. The men will tangle with second-ranked West Florida tonight at around 4 o'clock Central Time. And you can check that out at NCAA.com. So that's what's going on with the Lopers. And don't forget, get signed up for the Blue Gold, which is Monday, June 4th. Go to lopers.com for more information, or you can contact the athletic office. Our Loper Link brought to you by Garrett Tire, Tread, and Appliance. For no more flats or downtime, take care of yourself with the foam-filled industrial tires at Garrett Tire. And by Russ Smith, Charter West National Bank of Kearney, offering all types of loans, from new construction, home, commercial, and for seniors, the reverse mortgage loan. You have the reasons, they have the loans at Charter West. Coming up, more track with Roger Matheson, Kearney High, and Ken Hamilton, Lincoln Journal star. Talk a little Husker baseball after that thing that they played last night. We'll be back after this.
Hey, Greeny.
Yes, Golding.
Check out this magazine survey, Signs of Spring. Just how manly are you? This ought to be good.
Sounds good. I'm game.
All right. Mowing the lawn, riding or pushing?
No, lawn service.
Sprinklers, oscillating or rotating?
No, again, lawn service.
The weekend barbecue, micro brews or macro brews?
Wine spritzers if I have the choice, wine coolers in a pinch.
Oh, boy. Grilling, charcoal or gas?
Oh, gas. Charcoal is filthy.
Burgers or chicken?
Neither.
Well, then what? Tofurkey?
No way. You've converted me, big guy. I'm all Johnsonville sausage all the time.
Well, that's pretty manly fare for a guy who watches his lawn service from a chaise lounge while sipping a wine spritzer.
Listen, you can say what you want, your oafishness. The big, juicy flavor of a Johnsonville brat or an Italian sausage with a perfect blend of spices, it's undeniable. So how manly am I now?
Well, manlier than I thought.
All right, I'll take that as a compliment. You can find great grilling recipes and savor the flavor of spring at Johnsonville.com. Johnsonville sausage, made with only premium cuts of pork since 1945. Sausage is all we do.
Don't miss Kearney Yamaha's four-day Super Summer Sale taking place this weekend. During the sale, Kearney Yamaha will be giving away a $250 gift card with every new and pre-owned motorcycle sold. There will be rebates up to $800 on select models of ATVs, up to 15% off on all leathers, helmets, and luggage, 25% off on eyewear and in-stock sprayers, 15% off. Stop by this Thursday for Kearney Yamaha's first-ever bike night, where you can register to win a brand-new Kawasaki Vulcan 900 LT, and there will be tons of freebies, too. The Super Summer Sale this Thursday through Sunday at Kearney Yamaha, Nebraska's Power Sports Mall.
On Saturday, May 19th, Kentucky Derby hero I'll Have Another storms into Baltimore, seeking the middle jewel of racing's Triple Crown.
I'll Have Another takes the lead in the Derby and up the line. I'll Have Another wins the Derby.
Join HRRN's Eclipse award-winning broadcast team live from Pimlico Racecourse for exclusive coverage of the 137th Preakness Stakes. Saturday, May 19th at 4 p.m. exclusively on HRRN
and on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Sunshine develops across the area today with a high temperature of 82. Southeast winds develop this afternoon and increase to 10 to 20. Tonight, with mainly clear skies, will fall off to 56 as south winds stay breezy. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 70.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Coming up in just a moment, we're going to talk with Roger Matheson. Kearney High Track as our state track preview continues. One other thing, Daddy, that I wanted to mention with the Lopers. Sometimes they've got a lot of things going on that you just don't talk about. And the things that they do off the field. There are Lopers Under the Lights that they do every year to get things going for the academic and the athletic season. It was the winner of the National Division II Community Engagement Award of Excellence. And Athletic Director John McBride and Sean Fairbanks were down there at the festival in Louisville and accepted that award this week. So congratulations to all that have something to do with putting that on.
I'll tell you, a lot of people involved in that. They should go celebrate Cunningham's Journal Loft.
Have lunch, enjoy the weekend with some bands, head out back. It's courtyard time. You can't get any better than live entertainment.
We've been eating the Trio lately. The Journal Bar, it's always a favorite of ours. But any of the things on the menu, you get pizza, you get burgers, you get sandwiches, whatever you want. They've got salads and pastas as well. It's downtown Cunningham's Journal and the Loft. Courtyard's out back. Live music going on, big-ass beer specials going on. Check it out. Noon or night, Cunningham's the place to be.
Roger Matheson joins us as they get ready for the State High School Track and Field Championships this weekend in Omaha. Again, remember, classes B and D have the early session on Friday. A and C get going in the afternoon. Roger, welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show, and congratulations on another great year so far.
Well, We got through the year somewhat unscathed again, so yeah, it was a real good year for us. It was a terrific year, actually.
That's just what you kind of come to expect, though, Roger. You had the confidence going in, didn't you, this year, that it'd be like every other year at Kearney High?
I didn't quite catch. I got about half that. What was that question?
Well, I just said, you know, you going into this year, you figured we got the numbers out again. It'll be like any other year at Kearney High. We'll dominate again.
Yeah. Actually, going into the year, there was some. We had some trepidation. I think we had we had lost a couple kids who were really good to us. Like Caleb Lundgren was a good football player. He got hurt in football. We had a shot put to get hurt, and they kind of struggled getting back. Once we got Caleb back here about midseason, it's helped out a great deal. But yeah, I think we went into the year, to be honest, thinking there were probably only two meets we could possibly lose, that being Omaha North and Omaha Central. And quite honestly, those ended up with a much bigger gap than what we probably would have thought at the end of the year, because our kids really did improve a great deal during the season.
Roger, we talk about this, and sometimes it just gets taken for granted, but how much pride is there and how much talk is there, not just about the coaches, but the kids, to continue the streak? I know the seniors never want to be the one to see a streak end. Do you ever hear them talking about it when they don't know you're listening?
You know, honestly, I probably get more from. I got a letter from one of my former runners who actually taught at Stanford, and from Palo Alto yesterday with a prediction of what the scores are going to be. Had a friend of mine here in town from San Diego this weekend. He had his prediction, but I probably hear it more from the alumni. But no, I think the kids. I think you're exactly right. It gets to be so you somewhat get calloused about it, thinking, how could you not lose a track meet for 20 years?
But, yeah, when we went to our district meet, we've won it for a quarter of a century. And we won our conference meet for a quarter of a century. And, you know, all of our kids are 17, 18 years old. But I know, I don't even know how to react to that. I look back and I think, 20 years? And the track meets we go to, I mean, you guys have been an athlete. You know how it works. It's all relative to schedule. But we, you know, we are meeting the smaller A school, and we don't schedule any Class B schools. It's all Class A. We were some B schools in our conference. But I decided back in the mid-'80s, we had a really good track team, and quite honestly, we were beating everybody, went down to the state track meet, ended up sixth, and I thought, you know what, we got to do something different here. And so we start scheduling much tougher competition. And now we've been fortunate because we keep winning all the track meets during the year, too. But we were willing to give that up because we thought it hurt us at the end of the year because our kids had not been to Omaha. We hadn't seen the best kids in the state. And truly, when you talk about track in the state, it's really, you probably are talking Omaha Central, Omaha North, Kearney, and Berg. It's really a metro-dominated, inner-city-dominated sport. And we've been able to somehow, I guess, hold our own over the last couple decades.
Roger, you mentioned how much all these kids have improved, but I'm going to take one in particular, and people have heard of Luke McNitt because he's the quarterback of the football team. But I remember at the start of the year, he threw 52-10, then 53.5. So you think, I talked to his dad, he's like, yeah, I think he's going to go for 54. Then he goes 55. Then he goes 56. To improve that much in the shot put, that's something pretty special. Maybe you can point out one or two kids like him that have improved like that.
Well, first of all, I'd say it's probably a coaching blunder at Kearney High. He's throwing the shot, but I believe Dad was a state champion of 400, if I'm not mistaken.
And you could use a 400 runner.
Oh, no, we got a lot of 400 runners. You said, I got a friend of mine out at the college who says, you know, you never qualify anybody in the 400. I said, oh, no. Hey, Olsen ran 49.1 last week. We got a lot of 400 runners, except I got him in the intermediates. I got him in the triple jump. I got him in the half. I don't like where the 400 meters falls in state meet, and other people evidently don't look at it the same way I do. But if we have a kid who where it fits out well for what he does, but I don't like where the 400 meters fits. And so because of the combination of events in the schedule, I put him somewhere else. And so now we got a raft up. We got, at our mile relay at Omaha North, we went out at 49.1, 49.5, 50.5, and 51.5. So we probably got it. There's nothing in that event. But back to your question more succinctly, we've had a lot of kids like that. I think that I got a note from one of my kids the other day, one of the alumni. He asked me the same question, how many kids PR'd. And really what I think you see is we've been very stable throughout the year. Our kids are very consistent, which is what, of course, you look for, and then they improve towards the end. But in the meet the other day, the Lundgren kid I just mentioned, Caleb and Trey Anderson, who Trey's going to play football at UNK next year, they jumped in the mid-44s and triple jump. They improved dramatically. And we have a junior pole vaulter who last year was a 12-footer. He went 14-6. Jeremy Long. Jacob is his... He's a junior. Jacob is his freshman brother, throws the discus 150 feet. You might remember their uncle is Mike Smith, who's a great football player at UNK. Matter of fact, had a couple national records. But anyway, those are two that jump out at me right away. But I would say across the board, you know, in the weights, you mentioned Luke, the weights weren't especially difficult in the district meet. They were good, but they weren't, you know... I always tell my kids, listen, when the good kid, that's why we go to the meets we go to. If you're going to get better, you don't get better competing against the Sisters of the Poor. And if you do, you're probably not the kind of guy who's going to get it done in the Super Bowl. And so, that's kind of harsh, isn't it? But our weight, when we had a good meet, our weight, because you have to carry a big load for us at the state meet. But I think... when you look at our team, we are just pretty good everywhere. I mean, we typically try to cover all the events, but, you know, Garrett Arnold, we really ran well in the hurdles. We have a sophomore sprinter who I don't want to say has come out of nowhere because it's not quite like that. He was hurt last year. It hurt his hip. His name is Tyler Gillen. His senior brother is a hurdler for us. And I will tell you, when you look at the state charts can be somewhat meaningless. I like them. They're interesting. But
when you look at the Hunter, for example, they put those times, those handheld times. You know, if you got Grandpa Joe from the corner gas station doing the timing and his son's running, you know, everybody's running 10-6. You go down to the state meet and they run 11, you know, 11-5. But when you're a sophomore and you run 10-7-3, Curtis Cotton's son, Kenzo, is a sophomore, and he's the real deal. When you win the KU relays, you're not a boy, you're a man. But now Tyler has the second fastest 100 in the state, and I'm telling you, just like the other day when Omaha Central came in, when Central comes in, believe me, there are some events, like their coach said, they do not like losing the sprint relay. He was very direct. He said, we are going to win the sprint relay. Those guys put a Central, and they know how to run the 4x1. Well, when in the 100, I can tell you this, the Omaha Central kids were second, third, and fourth. And Tyler was pulling away at a rather rapid pace. And by the way, we won the sprint relay, too. that was bad, wasn't it? But anyway, there are just certain things that we've been really good at over the years. But I think when you can supplement them with some other events, you're pretty tough to beat. But the team we have this year, quite honestly, I would say of our 13 state championships in the last decade and a half or so, it's as good as almost all of them. You're going to say, well, then how come you're not an overwhelming favorite to win the state meet? Well, a lot of it's relative to how good everybody else is. Jacob Olson is going to run for UNL next year, and he is a major, major league aircraft carrier. How do you get on the all-time state charts like he was this year, and now two kids have beaten him? There are three kids this year on the all-time charts. Any other year, we would roll in the mile, the two-mile, for example, in the half and score a plethora of points. You've Russ Smith, who just had an ad for him for Charter. His son, Tim, runs for us. I mean, Tim, his times in most other years would be winning. Now he's sitting back there in like fifth or sixth, kind of like George was saying earlier. It's all relative to everybody else. And when we're really good this year, there are other people who are just as good. So, I don't know. Again, to go full circle back to your question, I think you look at the sprints with Tyler and the hurdles, with Arnold in particular, how he improved, we've really gotten better across the board. And we went in Omaha North, we thought we were in for a battle. Because Grand Island, you wouldn't typically think as being a track car. They've been better here as of late. Monty, matter of fact, was a student teacher of mine for a year here, a few years back. They've done a good job last year or two. But they got some big, big hitters. They're really a first-place team. And the Omaha North, we ended up winning pretty handily. In the district meet, we ended up winning pretty handily. But an invite's not the state meet. You got to have the big hitters to state meet, and it's going to depend upon whose big hitters are hitting the furthest home runs, I guess.
Roger Matheson with us here for a couple more minutes on the Doug and Daddy Show with our state track preview, talking about the Kearney boys. The girls have a plethora of kids that are going down as well. They've kind of been that runner-up. They were the district runner-up. They've been a lot of seconds and some firsts in there, so they expect to do real well. You touched on them a little bit, Roger, but and I love when you can have enough history to put together the books and the charts like Kearney High Track can. But Jacob Olson, if he does what you hope he will do and what you expect him to do, he will become the all-time career point scorer for Kearney High Track, which is saying something. Just a little bit more about what makes Jacob Olson better than all the rest.
That's a good question. If you look back, we've had six Gatorade athletes of the year on our track team. I mean, that's if a school gets one in 50 years or fourth, we've had six in the last decade and a half. And Jacob's going to score more than all those guys. I would say, it all boils down to talent, obviously. I mean, you got to have the natural talent. Unfortunately, we can say you got to work hard, but you got to have the tools to begin with. But I would say this. Jacob comes from good stock. His uncle ran for me years ago. Mike Carlson's his uncle, and Mike was the fastest guy in the state in the 800 meters. Jacob is, he's a natural distance runner that can run 49 flat and a quarter. He's ranked number one in his class academically. He's going to run for UNL, major in chemical engineering, and he's got a big motor in him. I always tell people, my brother drives a Prius because he likes getting 70 miles to the gallon. I drive Corvettes, Mercedes, and Lexuses. That's what I drive. And my cars all get about 4 miles to the gallon. I like gas dripping out of my tailpipe when I run. And that would be Jacob. He's got a big motor in him. And so when he pulls up to the pump, they're putting nitrous oxide in him. They're not putting in the E85. He's just got a motor in him. And he's extremely competitive. He's caught in a year where there are a couple kids who, there's Sudanese kids who came in on some exchange programs of some type, and they're quite good runners, and so he's going to have to battle those kids. But Jake is very unusual. He's very in that he's got almost every attribute, and he is extremely driven. I mean, he just got a big motor in him. Right. And I think he's around some other kids who you mentioned, Luke McNitt, that same mentality. The best shot put in the state, McNitt beats by an inch at the KU relays on his last throw. Some guys you hand the ball to with 10 seconds left, and some people you don't. You know, some guys are LeBron James, and some people are Michael Jordan.
Well, Roger, the team race, obviously people expect to see Kearney up towards the top. I don't know if you're the favorite going in. Is it Central's to lose, or who's going to be competing for the top three spots?
I think that the people who are looking at that I've read and looked at, I think they're probably pretty close in saying it's Papillion and us and probably Grand Island this year. Grand Island could score a lot more than what people realize. They're really good in the field events. They can come in and score 10, 10, 10, 10, 10 pretty fast. And so, you know, my opinion would be Papillion would be the team to beat. You know, what in that the kids that they have this year and what they put on the board, I think for us, it's, to be honest with you, like a friend of mine said yesterday, you can go to state track meet and you can give Kearney 20 to start with. And I know that sounds crass, but I think there is some merit to that. We've been there 82 million times. And when we go there, I mean, we don't go there with the idea of laying up on the side of the hill getting a suntan and concerned about where we're going to eat and how big our motel is. I mean, we're there with a whole different purpose. And so I told our kids, like I always do, they just know it. I think those are the three teams. There's always somebody else who has a chance to come along because they have big hitters. It's who is hitting on that particular day. It's, I was kind of disappointed. I thought that Daddy would have his act together here a little bit before the Kentucky Derby or before the Boston. Give me a call. Did you know Perry Compton's son goes to Kearney High?
I did not know that.
See, that's because you got to know all these little intricacies of the world. Perry called me about a week or so before that, and because his son runs the 800 meters for me. And actually, I think he would have been at the state meet this year. He's a sophomore had he not gotten hurt. But he was checking on the boy, and I was trying to get the inside track from him on the horse races, like you're trying to get the inside track from me on the state meet, but I got about the same information from him that you're getting from me.
Well, again, we talk about this every time with this year, and so many schools do it in so many different sports, but there's no doubt when you're driving around Kearney 364 days of the year, because I'm usually not here for Christmas, but you see the kids out working, and it is all for these 2 days. Roger, best of luck. I know you guys enjoy this more than any other 2 days of the year, and we appreciate you giving us some time on the Doug and Daddy Show. Have a great time and a lot of success this weekend. Roger Matheson, track coach of the Kearney High Bearcats, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And, you know, what can you say? They are dominant. They are dominant. They always run. They always do well. They always work all year long, just like our friends at T&L Irrigation. When you put the pivot system on your land, on the land you rent, why would you rent land to have an inferior crop? You've got T&L, folks. They are in every state in the nation, 60 countries throughout the world, based worldwide headquarters right here in Hastings, Nebraska, and they are the best. Time to smooth things out with a hydrostatically powered T&L pivot irrigation system and discover how they can be easier on you for a lifetime. Don't have to worry about that start-stop and resulting in breakdowns that cost you money and time. You can reduce your chance of being hit by the copper wire theft as well. There's not enough copper wire to steal on a T&L because of their hydrostatically powered system. Check them out online, TLIRR.com. Or there's a T&L irrigation dealer right in your backyard. They're there for you. Proven technology that works at T&L Irrigation. Ken Hamilton, Lincoln Journal Star, a little Husker baseball talk, and some Hall of Fame football talk after this.
Right now at the Home Depot, save up to 15% on all in-stock wood fencing from pickets to panels when you buy in bulk.
That could knock any fence project down to size in a hurry. And our wide selection of wood choices and styles puts everything you need within easy reach. So come in, load up, and save a bundle with up to 15% off all in-stock wood fencing when you buy in bulk. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Exclusions apply. U.S. only. See store for details.
Cheeto's Hotline. This is Chester.
The economy is really bumming me out.
Just sit back, relax, and enjoy those Cheetos snacks. It'll take your mind off it.
I'm feeling better already.
Me too. I'm charging you $24.99 for this call.
What?
Toodaloo.
Take a Cheetos break with Cheetos.
Pick up a bag of Cheetos today at a store near you.
Don't miss Kearney Yamaha's four-day Super Summer Sale taking place this weekend. During the sale, Kearney Yamaha will be giving away a $250 gift card with every new and pre-owned motorcycle sold. There will be rebates up to $800 on select models of ATVs, up to 15% off on all leathers, helmets, and luggage, 25% off on eyewear and in-stock sprayers, 15% off. Stop by this Thursday for Kearney Yamaha's first-ever bike night, where you can register to win a brand-new Kawasaki Vulcan 900 LT, and there will be tons of freebies, too. The Super Summer Sale this Thursday through Sunday at Kearney Yamaha, Nebraska's Power Sports Mall.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney, no health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company. Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Sunshine develops across the area today with a high temperature of 82. Southeast winds develop this afternoon and increase to 10 to 20. Tonight, with mainly clear skies, we'll fall off to 56 as south winds stay breezy. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 70.
Doug and Daddy's show, taking care of our guests with BK, home of the Whopper, Kearney's favorite burger for more than 30 years. Or try a real fruit smoothie when you're out and about. Two locations in Kearney, near Kearney Cinema, 8th Street and 3rd Avenue, and next to Walmart at 56th Street and 2nd Avenue. Also in Cozad, Lexington, and North Platte. Coming up, Ken Hamill is going to join us from the Lincoln Journal-Star. Don't forget, you can vote on our poll question here on the Hy-Vee Rewards Fan Club at ESPNSuperstation.com. How much will the Heat miss Chris Bosch in the playoffs? The vote was 56 a little, 33 a lot, 11% not at all. So we were not in the majority this time. Today, another NBA question. Who do you blame most for the Heat's loss to the Pacers? LeBron James for missing two free throws or Dwayne Wade for missing a layup down 2:16 seconds left? You don't miss a layup, Dwayne Wade. I mean, in those two, I mean, it's a four-quarter game that always comes down to the last minute, but I'll pick Dwayne Wade.
I think you pick either one of them there. Those are two huge things that got to happen down the stretch when you're players of that magnitude.
Let me just say this. Whatever. I mean, what do these people want to talk about? If Miami wins last night, then it's all about, oh, they didn't need Chris Bosh, and they're going to sweep Indiana, and they won their two at home. Now we'll go to Indiana. But all of a sudden, Miami loses by three, and the world's going to end. Indiana ain't going to win four from Miami. Write it down. Write it down. Ain't happening. The Heat's winning the series. Who cares if it's in four or seven, and it ain't going to be seven.
Yeah, I think sometimes these games, a little bit of refocus, and then all of a sudden we drop the hammer, and the better team prevails, and I think the better team is obviously the Heat. Though it is interesting when you got Granger's a really good player, and you're starting to figure out, you look at the other one, Boston and the 76ers. I thought Boston would hammer the 76ers all the way through, too. Maybe that refocuses Boston and gets them the other three wins they need.
So tonight it is Boston at Philadelphia, Game 3, Lakers at Oklahoma City, Game 2. And again, tomorrow, Oklahoma City wins. The Lakers are done. Kobe, they're just old. It's over. And then they go back to L.A. where they're supposed to win. If the Lakers win, it's like, oh, man, Kobe put him on in back. Look out. It's going to be one of those two things tomorrow. And it's just pull out. It's like watching the news. It's like watching the news. When it gets hot, there'll be a story on how to not leave your pet in the car. Guaranteed. When it's cold, man, we're sure. When it snows, yeah, we're all out of shovels and snowblowers, man. They just made a run on our generators. It's just you go to the file. What happens when this happens, okay? What happens when Game 3 is coming up in the whatever, World Series, NBA, NHL? But one more thing in the NHL. Why the Kings are just, this is incredible. This is incredible. They have just crushed Phoenix in two games at Phoenix. Now they go home. There's no reason to think that they don't sweep this one.
No, you're right. They're just playing lights out right now. Dominating performance last night. Speaking of dominating performances last night, how about the Royals' bullpen? Top to bottom. That was their fourth win in a row, six out of the last seven. Playing good baseball.
Take two from Texas at Texas. Now they come home and take on a Baltimore team that's pretty darn good.
You watch what they were able to do. Tim Collins pitched two innings, struck out five of the six guys he faced. They gave up a bomb with two outs in the ninth last night. It didn't matter because they had a big enough lead. But that's the best hitting club in the major leagues, Texas Rangers, and the Royals pitching staff shut them down two nights in a row.
Let's go to the Dent Popper inbox here. Jeff says, Cam Newton won a Heisman but was one and done. Is he a Hall of Famer?
Yes. Because of your impact on the college football game.
Won a national championship.
Yes.
This comes from John and Carney. It's okay to rant, Doug. Heck, Derek Thomas is better than all the defensive players that got in, and they did nothing but spit on his grave by not putting him in. The votes need to be made public like the coaches' poll results are. I don't know about that, but I think all of a sudden after this, people at least want to know how this all works out there with the College Football Hall of Fame.
Why aren't they public?
Because it's a good old boys club. They do what they want. I'm just saying, you look at this Hall of Fame ballot yesterday, and you're going, huh, Hal Bedsole. Yeah, he deserves to go over Tommy Frazier. John Wooten of Colorado. Yep. Gabe Rivera from Colorado State. Yep, he deserves to go in. Greg Myers from Air Force. Yeah, he's better than Tommy. I don't get it. Ken Hamilton. And one other thing I wanted to say, Daddy. You know, last week we had Ryan Lefevre on. Now the Royals are on a hot streak. I guess it's time. Maybe it's up to us to get the Cubs turned around. We're just going to have to do something. The Cubs fall 7-6 to the Cardinals yesterday. And when you're kind of laid up, recovering from surgery, you want your team to win. Ken Hamilton, Lincoln Journal Star, with us on the Doug and Daddy Show. How you feeling, buddy?
I'm getting there. I'm a little foggy still from drugs, but what the hell, I'm always kind of a little foggy.
I was going to say, this is the
perfect. You know, it's like, how do you tell the difference?
This is the perfect show to be on. We had Sip on yesterday, and he's on vacation from the Journal Star. I said, what are you doing while you're on vacation? He says, I'm standing here right now eating apple pie with my hands because my wife's not home. You got any crazy stories now that you're laid up?
Well,
did you do them?
It's interesting because it's hard to tell when Sip's on vacation and when he's not. I'll have to find out about that. Hey, you know, one thing you guys were just talking about, the Hall of Fame, College Hall of Fame, and I don't know if you touched on this, but I think what's happening there is Lawrence Phillips is still haunting Nebraska. And knowing the writers who vote and knowing the way that stuff goes, I'm sure there's guys, they're not going to vote for anybody from Nebraska in the 94, 95 era.
And by the way, folks, Ken obviously still does work, but he was a beat writer for the Huskers for years and years, and you saw all of these guys play.
Yeah.
And we talk about the good old boys club in a variety of different ways, but if you get in good, I mean, this, you pick your Woody Pages, and you can go with 60 guys out there. You rub a guy wrong, he's not going to forget it, and your point's well taken there. Do you think this is something that's going on and it's going to be a while for these guys? You got to rotate the voters out?
I guarantee it. I guarantee it. Crouch might get in before Tommy just because of that. There's a bitterness about what Nebraska went through and they were all criminals and all that stuff, and I'm never going to reward them for anything. I mean, really, can you think of a better player than Tommy Frazier during those days? I mean, no, and we saw everybody there was to see.
Well, and we talked about it at the top of the show, Daddy, the national folks, like your Chris Fowler, who I don't think is a big Husker fan anyway, and then you've got Blair Kirkhoff, all these folks tweeting. We talked about that. You're right, Daddy.
Yeah.
I said at the start of the show, if you win the Heisman Trophy and you're the best player and you get handed that award in college football, aren't you automatically in the College Football Hall of Fame? There's one of those guys a year.
It should be. I mean, yeah. Should be for sure. And I don't know what's holding up Crouch. I don't know what's holding up Frazier or Trev Alberts for that matter. We're talking about really great players, people that turned the whole nation on its ear by their play.
Ken Hamilton is with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, talking a little bit about baseball as well. The last couple of Tuesdays haven't been very good for the Big Red. I contend that that's not... They've been terrible, but I contend that's not a big deal if they take care of business on the weekend. Last night was bad. I mean,
I'm sorry.
Is it a big deal? Is it a big deal, Ken, that they got waxed last night?
No, because the Tuesday at Creighton was a big letdown. Yesterday was, people were talking. We were talking that obviously the coaches don't talk that way, but yesterday just plain didn't matter. They had to have all their focus on the Michigan series. They need to get at least two wins to get a fairly decent seed. They got a shot at getting second place still in the Big Ten tournament, and that would be a first round bye. Because of all the Big Ten did a lot of goofy stuff. Well, explain to me, how do you pick six teams out of 11? To go to your tournament where everybody else does eight. And the way they run the tournament is if you lose the first day, you have to win like seven in a row to win the conference tournament. So it's very, very strange.
Ken, obviously this team's had, I guess, peaks and valleys, probably more valleys than I think Darren Erstad expected. Everybody expected to roll through this conference. Hasn't happened. For them to go to Michigan...
Yeah.
If you get two out of three at Michigan and you position yourself, if you're second going in, is there any chance you can win one game in the conference tournament and still get a regional berth?
No.
No.
No, I don't see that at all. I think, you and I talked about that when we saw each other in Lincoln a couple weeks ago. No, you got to win like 38 games, something like that, to get in. And I suppose if they could reach 38, but they'd have to win seven between now and the selection. So I don't think that's going to happen. They're going to have to win the tournament to get in. Michigan's RPI is like 191, and Nebraska's RPI is like in the 80s somewhere. So they're not in any position to get an at large bid. Was it Doug that mentioned that people thought they'd roll through the Big Ten because they'd been in the Big 12. Well, the thing is, everybody in the Big Ten has at least one Friday night starter that can beat anybody in the country, and that's what happened to Nebraska. They ran into these really hot, really good pitchers, and they only won two of the Friday night games all season long.
Ken Hamilton is with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show for another minute, talking a little bit of Husker sports, College Hall of Fame, and the baseball. What does this weekend define the Husker season? I mean, they don't do well against Michigan. They slide to sixth, and they do really well and get some help. They're second, and I think everybody takes second at the beginning of the year. Just your thoughts on the season for the Big Red.
Yeah, and second would be fine because Purdue, everybody knew Purdue was loaded. Tons of seniors, a lot of good pitching. They had lost almost nobody from a year ago, and second place would be just fine. The fact that you know, Nebraska pretty much is the same team they were a year ago. And if you look at last year's team and this year's team, you have to say this year's team is a lot, lot better. So, you know, even if they don't do well this weekend, you can say they improved. And Erstad is going to turn this thing around. I mean, he already has turned it around in terms of attitude. Their crowds are up to averaging about 4,000 a game. You know, I think it's going in the right direction, even if they don't have a good weekend. But I would like to see them have a good weekend.
I think we all would like to see them have a good weekend, Ken. Obviously, you mentioned, I think the hitters are there. We got some junior college help on the way. I mean, the pitching staff, though, Darren Erstad will go out and, I mean, we got to expect to add 10 pitchers,
you know,
don't
what?
We?
And one other thing, Daddy, what if Logan Ehlers would have stayed?
Yeah, that would make a big, I mean, he's having a great season in junior college right now. Down at, I think he's at Kilgore.
Howard.
Or Howard, okay.
Yeah.
I was close. The Howard Rangers? No, it's the Kilgore Rangers. Anyway, he's having a good season, and he'll end up somewhere. Well, he'll probably get drafted pretty high this spring. So, who knows, you know, what his future is. But, no, they're going to go out and get players. And I think, you know, one thing, a kid walks into Erstad's office, and he didn't want to do it, but his wife and everybody else talked him into it. He put up the two silver bats. He puts up the three gold gloves. They're sitting plain in sight there. And you can go, you know, this guy played 14 years. And he has been through it. He knows what to ask of you, and he's not going to ask you to do anything that he wouldn't do.
Well, we're looking to see what the Huskers get done here and can get better. Can't wait to see you maybe on the golf course sometime here. We appreciate the time on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Anytime.
Take care, buddy. Ken Hamilton, Lincoln Journal Star, Husker Extra. Check it out. Covering the Husker baseball team, among other duties. Mr. Sports Know-It-All. Check that out every Sunday in the Lincoln Journal Star as well.
One thing about Ken Hamilton, he's one of the guys down there in the media that is never too busy and never grumpy at all. There's always a smile, always a bounce in Ken Hamilton's step. Some of the other guys, I mean, not to make a bad people. I don't have a minute. I gotta get running. I'm right on this. Ken Hamilton's got all. He just laid back, and that's just his personality. He's a fun guy to be around.
He's good stuff. And we will take a break here at the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Wrap things up on the Doug and Daddy Show after this.
If it's hard to stop or you hear squealing and grinding noises during braking, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You'll find the brake parts you need from trusted brands like BrakeBest, BrakeBest Select, and Wagner ThermoQuiet at everyday low prices. Play it safe with brake parts from O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Okay, America, Wendell here. This summer, we need to start doing our High Life due. See, for every bottle cap and can tab returned, High Life will donate 10 cents towards showing our vets some love. So fire up that grill and invite over your guys, your gals, and anybody who ever loans you a power tool and start popping tops. It's your High Life duty, America.
Donation split between IAVA and Operation Elm Fund. Caps and tabs must be received by September 30th, 2012. Maximum total donation, $800,000 for all 2012 High Life veterans promotions. Minimum total donation, $350,000. Must be 21 or older. For details, visit MillerHighLife.com. Great beer, great responsibility. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
So, it was a Friday night. One of my buddies won to play pool. The other one to go grab a bite to eat. And me, well, I just wanted a cold beer and some good entertainment. So, to keep everyone happy, we went to Cunningham's Journal. It's like three places in one. Upstairs is the loft where you can play pool and listen to some good tunes. Outside is the courtyard where they have live entertainment every week. And inside, there are a bajillion TV screens with all the games any sports fan can handle. Great food and, of course, the coldest beer in town. So, problem solved. Everyone's happy. Thanks to Cunningham's Journal, downtown Kearney.
Doug and Daddy's Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, winding down a Wednesday. We are packed tomorrow. Michigan baseball coach Rick Maloli, Paul Reinertsen, Gibbon golf coach, and Vince Pelster with our state track preview from Hastings St. Cecilia here at the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Oh, school's out, Daddy. Those kids need to get around on their own, and Midway can help you out with a beautiful new or pre-owned vehicle for that boy or girl, maybe that new graduate that is headed off to college. Because you know what? It's out. Maybe you want to get yourself something. Get away from the kids. How about a Ram 1500, Dodge Journey, Dodge Caravan, Chrysler Town & Country, or a Jeep Compass? Maybe you want to check out some of the Chevrolet products like a Cruze or a Silverado 1500. Can't go wrong with a Chevy Silverado truck. Great deals on that these couple of months out at the Midway Auto Dealerships. Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, located on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Both locations are there to serve you every day, all day, and when they are nighty-night, because they do need 3 or 4 hours of rest a night, you can check them out at thinkmidway.com. Think Midway. It's a better way.
Obviously, there's going to be some more playoff basketball. You mentioned that going on tonight. More Royals baseball. They're coming home. I'm excited. We mentioned the Orioles. We mentioned that we get the little interleague play started then. They got 5 games below 500. This is a team that could climb back into this deal and get back to 500. That would be huge after the 12-game losing streak.
Well, then a 12-game winning streak evens that out, and they are better than the Cubs. In soccer last night for the boys, Creighton Prep wins the Class A title by a score of 2-0 over Omaha Westside. And in Class B, South Sioux City falls to Omaha Scutt. Scutt wins it 3-2. Grand Island golf team misses qualifying for state by just 2 shots, but Nick Nabauer and Jeff Allen make it individually. State tennis gets going tomorrow. The highest seed in any of these are the number 3 is a third seed. In Class A, that's the number 2 doubles team of Leah Limbaugh and Steph Shields of Kearney. And in B, that's the Kearney Catholic number 1 doubles team of Lauren Messbarger and Shayla Connor. And we'll keep you up to date on that tomorrow as well. And we want to thank all of the guests on the Doug and Daddy Show today. Ken Hamilton, the Lincoln Journal Star. We'll open a link with Scott Jorgensen of UNK Track and Kearney Track Coach Roger Matheson. You can catch any of our interviews in case you missed them anytime on our podcast, brought to you by Cunningham's Journal, ESPN, Superstation.com. Michigan baseball coach Rich Malole tomorrow, along with Hastings St. Cecilia track coach Vince Pelster and golf coach Paul Reinertsen of Gibbon.
Hey, we'll see you tomorrow. Doug and Daddy, 1460, 1550.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.